keep an eye on the Yankees, who are about to get underway here. Obviously, first and foremost, we're all worried about the deadline here. Two quick updates, BT, before you get to the Cashman thing you wanted to get to with me. John Morosi, Twins talks on Harrison Bader have intensified. Would expect him to be dealt in the next several hours. I don't know what that means for potentially the Mets.
Okay.
There's actually some thought about the Yankees, too, getting involved there. Anyway, we'll see with that. So Bader could be on the move. And here's the more important one. This does involve the Yankees directly. John Morosi as well. The Marlins and Yanks have had dialogue about either Sandy Alcantara or Edward Cabrera going to the Bronx. The Marlins have asked for Spencer Jones as different concepts are being discussed.
Not giving them up. You could keep them.
Oh, by the way, Jeff Passan just had this now. Phillies are finalizing a trade to get Bader.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to see Bader again from a Yankee perspective.
But that's big for the Mets because the Phillies were one of the teams that went on Robert.
Yeah.
So now the Phillies are out on Robert because you're not going to get Robert and Bader. So the Phillies get Harrison Bader, and now maybe it's between the Padres and Mets for Robert. I don't know, but this would be, if you were of the belief the Mets are going to get Robert, this would be more in that camp here as Bader now goes to Philadelphia,
yeah,
one of the teams who was after Luis.
Well, there's only so many chairs to sit on. There's only so many teams vying for a center fielder, so that makes sense. And keep in mind, we told you guys earlier, obviously a lot of stuff going on, so you tune it in, tune it out, whatever, we get it. But it looks like the Padres are also connected to Kwan. So I have not heard.
But maybe they get Kwan in the Mets land with Robert.
Yeah. It could be here. So it's not just the Robert, although it very well might come down to that. But no, I think Kwan's a piece of the puzzle potentially as well still.
Just to get back to the Marlins Yankees, yep. You would not give up Spencer Jones?
I'm not giving up Spencer Jones for that. Neither one.
For
no
either Alcantara or Cabrera?
No way. No. No way. I'm not. I'm not saying I wouldn't give
You'd
up.
You'd rather give up Dominguez.
I'd rather give up Dominguez. You know,
you're back on the not trading Spencer Jones thing.
Well, I mean, I've always been on the not trading Lombard thing.
Yeah.
I was really never on the don't trade Spencer Jones thing because somebody in the Yankees organization themselves told me directly that they didn't think that Spencer Jones would hit major league pitching.
Right. Well, he still hasn't hit major league pitching.
Well, I understand that, but they also didn't think that he was going to really do this because they thought he was vulnerable to certain pitches.
I think they don't know what they're talking about.
I was going to kind of go there. Like, I'm not going to get too wrapped up in their projections on a player that was negative when a lot of their projections on a player that's favorable almost never works out. So maybe it's good when they say that somebody is not right. going to be good.
I get what you're saying because you know were always high on Spencer Jones.
Of course I was.
And then you hear from people that you're supposed to trust. Yeah. And everything. I get it.
Why would I not take them at faith? They know the game more than I do. They're around
it.
The player.
I get it.
Anyway, so I wanted to throw this back out. I am very confused at this. So right now, it's not that the Yankees don't want to make moves. It seems to be, and very respected journalists have reported this, a few of them, that they seem to be in between philosophies. Like, there's moves they want to make, but they don't want to give up Jones and don't want to give up Dominguez, right. Don't want to give up Schlittler, and definitely aren't giving up Lombard. And Lombard I certainly get. So they're motivated to do things, but they're very reluctant to give up what they don't want to give up. So, but this should not be a new occurrence. When 2 weeks ago, when Brian Cashman said, quote, "We are preparing to go to town." When you use those words to describe what your vision is going to be for a day like today when the deadline expires, wouldn't you have already reconciled in your mind? If I'm going to town, I mean, unless you're an idiot, don't you think that you know that you're going to have to give up a lot to go to town?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So what happened? Like, what changed?
Well, if outside of the Judge injury, which they're saying they don't believe it's as severe as, you know, maybe was feared initially. So I'm taking that out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that could have changed is the continued poor play, which also to me shouldn't be good enough. What the Yankees have put on paper or put, you know, on record, whatever, this year should be more than enough for Cashman to make the decision saying we're going to go to town. And I'm sorry, but McMahon, Rosario, and Austin Slater are not exactly going to town. And I'm not saying they're not going to add a reliever. They might. But even that, to me, is not going to town. Even what the Mets did is still not going to town. They need more. They started to go to town. They've driven there. Like, they put it in the Google Maps. They're on their way to town. They have not gotten to town yet. Maybe, you know, on their way, yes, going to town will be getting a center fielder in addition to the bullpen arms that they added at the very least. With the Yankees, it's not even close to going to town. I don't think they've left the driveway yet.
Yeah, and I didn't say that I thought the Yankees would go to town. I didn't even really ever say that I think that the Yankees should go to town. I'm just reacting to the words that their general manager used to us to communicate what he believes he's going to do.
He said, go to town. That's my issue, is that he'll say go to town. Okay, good. Go to town. Meaning if there's a player that you want Whether it's Mason Miller, whether it's Alcantara, whether it's Kwan, Kwan would be my first choice. We've gone over that. Whatever. Identify a player or two that you want. Go get them. Like the Padres. The Padres have gone to town here. Like that. That's what you do. And the Yankees just don't do that. It's like, we're going to go to town, but only if you tell us that the certain shop is open at a certain time and the prices are good enough for us that we could eat in town. Like, no. Are you going to town or not? Going to town would be, hey, all right, if Dominguez has to go for Alcantara or Cabrera and those are players that they want, independent of what you or I would do, then go do it.
Go to Cougar Town.
Yeah, that's a town. Is that a town you want to visit, Cougar Town?
Yes. I think every city's got a Cougar Town.
Are the Yankees even going there? I don't know.
Oh, man. I don't know. Okay, so I've done this a lot. I'll do remember that show? That was funny. All right, I'll do this very, very fast here. All right, so right now, and I'm just on the model now. I just popped it up. The latest updated projections. Right now, do the Yankees and Mets real quick. We'll get back to the calls. 888-808-1019 BT and Sal. So the Yankees, 89.8 wins is what they're projected for. Now, remember,
89.8.
Remember, their final 14 games are like, I think they've got the Nationals, the Orioles. They've got teams with a very low winning percentage. So the fact that it's only 89.8 surprises me a bit. I'm not saying it should be a lot higher. Anyway, projected 89.8 wins, 31% chance to win the division, which has to be as low as it's been.
That's incredible.
That is low. And right now, an 89.7% to be a playoff team. Now, the Mets are actually very similar. This is freaky. So the Yanks are 89.8. The Mets are 89 wins projected. Mm. The Yankees are division 31%. The Mets are 32.9%. And the Yankees, the Mets are...
To win the division, the Mets are that low?
Yeah. And the postseason for the Mets is 86.4%. And the Yankees is 89.7. Now, I don't know how they bake in the trade acquisitions that the Mets have had, nor do I know if and how they calculate the moves that the other teams have made. And this is an imperfect
database,
whatever it is. I mean, it's just hard numbers, strength the schedule, blah, blah, blah. I find it very interesting. The Yankees and the Mets basically have the same exact percentages across the board.
I would think mostly that speaks to the competition in each league. It has to. Or the division.
Yeah, but don't you have to respect the Phillies more than Toronto? And I've given Toronto respect, but like to have the Yankees the same distance from the Mets when the Phillies are more viable than the Blue Jays, it just seems off.
But the Yankees are four games back, and the Red Sox are right there. So it's three teams, and they're four games in the rear, where with the Mets, it's two teams. I mean, the sheer odds. Marlins are on one of the division. Braves are dead. Nationals are on. There's only two teams. It's the Mets and Phillies. So,
and by the way, Boston 13.9% to win the division right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would think because it's two things there. The three teams and the fact that the Yankees are, you know, four games back right now. All right, let's get back to the phones here. One more tweet that I saw from John Morosi.
Yeah. Do we trust him?
No, not 100%, but at least more than Nightingale. Yeah. I haven't read many Nightingale things.
Yeah.
A Stephen Kwan trade today is viewed as increasingly likely. Mm. So, dude, this is going to bother me from a Yankee perspective. Kwan is available, likely going to get traded, and the Yankees are just nowhere to be found. Like, you know why? Because he doesn't fit what they look for in a player. A guy who hits a ton of home runs and strikes out a lot. He doesn't fit that. Plays great defense. Why go get Kwan when you could just have Dominguez out there hitting 250 or whatever he's hitting with his paltry 8 home runs and him on skates in left field? I'm not trying to knock a prospect here. I'm trying to win a World Series. And getting a 2-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glover that can bat leadoff, something you haven't had, and hit for a high average, 285. I mean, geez, outside of Darren Judge, he'd be leading the Yankees by a landslide. Bellinger's up there, too.
Honestly, Goldschmidt's still in the 280 vicinity, but we get the point. Bellinger's been on a tip. Bellinger's been phenomenal.
You get the point.
I get the
point. They don't have a leadoff hitter. Like, why not go get Kwan? You know what? The Yankees will get what they deserve then. Let's see what Cashman cooks up here in the next 4-plus hours. Or I guess, what is it, 5 hours? Yeah, 4-plus hours.
38 strikeouts for Kwan this year.
Dude,
38.
Come on!
I mean, I didn't know it was that low. I like him. You like him more than me. I mean, I like him. I definitely like him. You like him a little bit more, but boy, 38 strikeouts, 51 a year ago. A lot of bats to the ball. Good fielder. I'm not saying he's not good.
It's not even that I like him more than you. I think the Yankees are in desperate need of that. Somebody who is. That's why the Blue Jays are. Look at the Blue Jays lineup. You tell me the Blue Jays are more scary than the Yankees? They're not. They don't have the ace, even though they traded for Bieber. They don't have the pitching that if the Yankees have at their best. So what's the difference? The difference is that Toronto puts the bat on the ball and makes the Yankees make plays. The Yankees are strikeout machines. Their strength is hitting power. They can bludgeon you to hitting with power. They can bludgeon you to death. In the postseason, sometimes that goes away. We've seen that happen. What they lack is the ability to put the bat on the ball consistently. Imagine a guy like Kwan, who's going to strike out 40 times a year, whatever it is, hits for 285 in front of Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I know. It's appealing. I can't. Lombard's off the table.
Fair enough. But you don't know.
Give him Dominguez.
Well, let's see.
I already said that. I'll give you Jason Dominguez for Kwan, of course.
And maybe,
but they want Spencer Jones, but I don't want to give up Spencer Jones.
Let's see what let's see what he ends up getting dealt for.
I'm hugging. I'm doing a little hugging with Spence.
Which, by the way, is fine. You could pick a guy or two that you wouldn't give up, but then you also have to understand that you might not upgrade the ball club.
Understood.
This year right now. BT and Sal on the fan. Sharon is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Sharon?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call.
You used
a lot of my going-to-town information. But when he said going-to-town, I originally thought he meant Chinatown for knockoff.
get a little Gucci bag?
Yeah.
A little Rolex?
But at this point...
A Cartier?
At this point, let's send out a search party, because I believe he got lost on his way to whichever town he's planning to go to.
Well, maybe he is in Cougar Town. He's busy.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, you know.
I don't know what the heck he's doing, Sharon. Oh, God, Sharon. I don't know what he's doing.
I would definitely give up Dominguez in a trade. Yep. I would love to have Kwan, but I think it's going to be like last year. We're sitting here all day. We're going to wind up with another Mark Leiter and De Los Santos.
Well, he did get you Jazz Chisholm last year. Sharon, he got you Jazz.
Well, maybe
he's having a great season.
But from the bullpen arm perspective.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm trying to be fair.
But his at-bats are very immature, Jazz. Yeah. Like, he doesn't, his at-bats are not maturing, I don't feel.
I agree with that, and thank you for the call, Sharon.
I do too, by the way. That's actually a very astute point on her end. I agree with that.
I like the terminology.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. Like, yeah, of course, when he's hitting home runs, it looks great, and you can look at the numbers, but when you watch him consistently, there are times where you need a better at-bat, and it's just not there consistently.
You know what it is, Sal? There's too many times where he comes up, and generally against a lefty, where... You know, it's basically strike one, strike two, strike three. It's let me let a fastball on the outside corner. You know, I'm not looking to attack that first pitch anyway, so I'm going to let that go strike one. Now it's, you know, sweep or slide or something soft, something away, flail. And Jazz is a very good player, but the way that's one of the better descriptions I've heard. That was phenomenal.
Right.
Like, he doesn't really give you mature at-bats because he's still sometimes just too inefficient when he's got to be efficient.
And by the way, he's not the problem.
No, just, definitely not.
Combined with everybody else striking out a ton and not giving quality at-bats, that's some of the issue. Will is calling from Long Island. What's up, Will?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy.
I just have a question. You guys want to trade, not you, BT, but Sal wants to trade Jason Dominguez for Stephen Kwan. Why are we trading a 22-year-old top prospect for a guy that has not hit more than 14 home runs in his career in one season?
You don't need all home runs. First of all, I said, hold on. I said that I actually, me, Brandon, I would trade Dominguez for Kwan. I would. You know, not everybody's got to bang 25 home runs and hit 220. There's value.
I understand that, yeah. But I understand, and I know you guys are going to say, well, Dominguez...
No, I don't think you
understand. I do understand. You guys say the dumbest points on the radio.
Well, go ahead. Finish your point.
Number two is that Jason Dominguez is a 22-year-old top prospect who has light tower power, who's putting it together at the big league level. You don't trade that for Stephen Kwan.
Why not? Kwan's a 2-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glover. Dominguez has how many home runs this year? His light tower power must be out. The power outage.
He's finding his footing in the big leagues.
Yeah,
you can't expect these kids to come up and hit 50 home runs in
the
rookie
season. How's Volpe doing in year three, Will? How's Volpe doing in year three?
He's had his highs. He's had his lows.
How's Gleyber Torres live up to the hype? How's Gleyber Torres live up?
We
can go on, Will.
Gleyber Torres is a multiple-time Silver Slugger. He's a multiple-time Silver Slugger.
God, Will. Congratulations, Will.
Those comparisons are dumb.
How is it done? Gleyber Torres is supposed to be a top player in Major League Baseball. He was never that with the Yankees.
And he is.
No, he's not.
He's a top second baseman in the league.
And by the way, he's so good the Yankees let him walk.
He's one of the best second basemen in baseball, though. And I wanted him gone, but he's had a really good year. Will, hold on one second.
It was time to let him go.
Why? If he's so good, a Silver Slugger, he's so good. Top second baseman.
Shelf life. He wasn't very good defensively, and the Yankees have, we all say they got to get better defensively. So they did. They put Jastrzemski at second base. What? I don't understand.
Okay, so that's why I want Stephen Kwan, Will. What's so hard to comprehend?
But you're not training a 22-year-old top prospect for Stephen Kwan.
Then you're not getting him. Why not?
He's good. I don't want him. That's fine.
Good, and live with Dominguez. Live with Dominguez, you idiot.
Well,
God.
Listen, to me, here's where I would put, I'm going to meet you a little bit in the middle, all right? I'm not looking to give Dominguez away, and I'm not trading Dominguez away for, even though Suarez has been dealt, a 34-year-old rental for 2 months hoping he hits home runs. That's idiotic. Anybody that would do that that's like an old Yankee move. That's like a Buehner or Kenny Phelps move, right? You just don't do something stupid like that back in the early petulant George days. But what you do, or at least what you should consider doing, Kwan's 27.
And he's under control.
And he's under control. So while I would like to see the fruits of the talents of Dominguez be harnessed a little bit more in center field and another year of growth, et cetera, it's not reckless to trade him for somebody like Stephen Kwan when he's 27, making peanuts and under control and a skill set that really is not too often in your lineup.
And for the record, Will, I never said I would trade Dominguez for him. I would prefer.
I said that I would.
Correct. I would actually prefer to trade Spencer Jones. The thing we brought up yesterday was Jones and Schlittler. And
yes, you said no way. I'm doing that. No way.
Now, I would do that. No way. I wouldn't. I probably would rather. Well, not probably. I would rather hold on to Dominguez than Jones. But if they said we want Dominguez, I would say that is fine. I would do that. He wouldn't be the first guy. I'd rather trade Spencer Jones. I don't know what Cleveland wants. We're going to find out what they're going to get. But I do believe that with good reason that Kwan is a perfect fit for the Yankees. You have to give something to get something. You're getting an all-star who's cheap and under control that can put the bat on the ball, hit for a high average, and play gold glove defense. He can't hit home runs. I don't want Kwan. He can't hit home runs. How many home runs does Dominguez have? The Martian. How many home runs does he have? Light tower power. I mean, when are we going to see it exactly? And by the way, maybe we see it next year. Maybe we see it this year at some point. I don't know. What I do know is this. We haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And I'd be in the business of trying to win now. And that's the cost of doing business. You got to give to get something. Continue to hoard the prospects. Keep Dominguez. Keep Spencer Jones. Keep them all. And let's see how it worked out. Just like Volpe was supposed to be a stud. Just like Gleyber Torres, who was a bust according to the standards with the Yankees. If you don't believe that, now you could talk about he's a good second baseman, one of the best in baseball. That's fine. Gleyber Torres was supposed to be better. He had better seasons with the Yankees and was on the verge of superstardom.
Yeah, he was a three-hitter for a minute.
And he never fulfilled that. Not in the postseason, not ever. And he was pretty good with the Yankees last year in the postseason.
He was very good. When they put him lead off, he started hitting a little bit. And that coincided with a little bit of an elevation in the Yankees offense. The one thing that I don't do, and some people do it, I get it. I don't do it. And I've said this a few times, so it's going to be a little repetitive. But when you start throwing out the Gary Sanchez's and the Glabers and whether it's a Kevin Moss, to me, I disconnect. It's not whatever the hell did or didn't happen with all those guys does not mean that Jason Dominguez is destined to fail. I get separation from that. Now, the problem is that it's the same organization and it's the same people and it's the same system and it's the same lack of development in the minors. So I get that. I'm not an idiot. But I just, I can't blanketly say, if that's even a word, blanketly, I can't just blanketly assign failure to any up-and-coming Yankee prospect because there's been a recent track record, more than recent track record, of guys not getting it done. I don't think that's fair to somebody like Dominguez.
Correct, not each individual.
Or Jones or anybody else you want.
But it is relevant to the conversation when you're saying that Brian Cashman specifically either identifying player, overhyping player, player development, holding on to players and reluctant to trade them. This is not, I think Will, in his particular case, the caller Will, he has a hard time comprehending the idea that you're not, just by saying you might be willing to trade Dominguez, it doesn't mean that you don't think Dominguez is ever going to be good. That you have to give something of value to get something of value. Where we may differ is that Will can value the potential of Dominguez more than the known commodity of Kwan. And that's fine. I think it's foolish. I think it's idiotic. But that's fine. That's your opinion. I, especially from a Yankees perspective, when I have power up the wazoo, up and down the lineup without Dominguez, I would rather have right now a leadoff hitter that's going to be a gold glover in left field that's going to hit the ball and get on base. I think it's a perfect fit. And it's going to suck to lose Jones or Schlittler or Dominguez if that's what it would take, but I would be willing to take that risk.
But my only question is, like, why would the Guardians let him go? I mean, if he had a year ago...
They better get a haul back for him.
I understand that, but I asked you the same question yesterday, and I asked rhetorically because I don't think there's really a good answer. I just don't. You know, if he was 31, you know, and...
how many years? You get 2 more years left?
He's got at least 2. He's 27 years. I believe it's 2020.
At least one under control.
It's more than one. So he's 27. He's a two-time All-Star. I thought it was 2 as well. Could be 3, but I think it was 2. I think you're right. It's definitely more than one. He's a young kid still. And, you know, his talents, I think he's going to age gracefully. And he does a lot of things good on the baseball field. So who just went yard there? Who is that? Is that Stanton? That a boy, Stanton with a rocket. There you go. I think that... Yeah, I've just said trade him.
2 more years left.
Thank you, Sal. Yeah. Value is high. Stanton's actually been hitting very well since he came back. But the point being, like, the Guardians and the profile of where they're trying to go and what Kwan is, it's not the same of, you know, the Cardinals getting rid of their closer where they're not going to resign. Like, I don't know why they're on such a mission to get rid of Stephen Kwan. You're not hemorrhaging money with them.
But I think the only – they feel like they're not close to being – legitimately competitive.
No, I get that, go ahead. No, finish it. I'm sorry.
They get back a hole, and it's got to be a hole.
Yep.
For a young player like that, that's costing you nothing. You get back 3 or 4 guys that could turn the organization around.
I understand that, but what I would then say, and what I believe is, because he's young enough and his talents are I believe transferable deep into his, you know, mid-30s. I think that they could turn it around when Stephen Kwan is still a very good baseball player. That's what I'm saying. Like,
maybe, but
if he was at the end of the road and he was like, you know, 32, 33, or Suarez, like 34, move on.
How are they going to turn it around? They have to make a decision as an organization to feel like this is going to expedite the process. Hey, we have something of value here.
Yep.
We're not 1 or 2 players away. Let's maximize the return now for him before he hits free agency in 2 years. Because guess what? What do you think is going to happen next year? Next year, then he's going into where he's got 1 more year of control. And now the value lessens. Well, right now you can maximize that value.
It's definitely peak value, Tom. I'll give you that. But he's a good player. He's a winner. He's been in the playoffs there. He fits well. This is independent of the Yanks and the Mets. That's one of the bad things about baseball. It really is.
You should never have a player like that available.
Come on, man. I understand, like, if a superstar tells you, hey, I'm not signing with you no matter what you give me, no matter what you do, I'm leaving. Well, then you've got like Carmelo with Denver. All right, you got to go, man. We're going to trade you because we know you're not going to resign. We got to get something for you. But it just doesn't make any sense. Young, controllable, still, I think, ascending in maybe 1 or 2 aspects of his game, and they got to trade him? I mean, that's stupid.
And by the way, for the record, back to the Dominguez thing for 1 second.
Yep.
Like, I would not trade him for a starting pitcher. We talked about that before. You know why? It's not because I don't think he's good enough, whatever. It's because I don't value that as being a big difference maker for the Yankees right now. If I'm going to trade Dominguez or Spencer Jones or Schlittler, actually, specifically Dominguez, because I'd rank him above those other two that we mentioned, if I'm trading him, it's got to be for a no doubt about it piece. And again, I'd prefer to trade Spencer Jones and Schlittler, but I don't even know if I would trade Spencer Jones for a pitcher because I don't think that's a need for the Yankees. Kwan, perfect fit. Bullpen arms, understood. And depending how much control, like Miller, of course, if you were to get him, then yes, that would be something I consider. Not, though, for Alcantara or Cabrera.
Biggest weaknesses right now for the Yankees, the relief pitching is just in shambles. They have to address this. That is clearly number one. Number two for me would be the back end of the starting rotation, and I think a distant third would be offense, which is a plus. So to me, the Yankees have 2 clear needs to address. You got to get at least one big arm in the pen. I don't know if they will. And I would like to get a starting pitcher less urgent than the relief pitcher.
John Heyman just now, teams with good, great pieces consistently ask the Yankees about top outfield prospect Spencer Jones. Yanks are consistent on this too. They will only trade Jones and others in a package for Paul Skeens, who's not available and not going anywhere.
Love it.
Yeah, but then you're not getting anybody.
There's other minor leaguers. I mean, the Yankees don't have 1/10 of a minor league team. Now, you start dipping into younger guys. I don't know if that would satisfy the other teams, but you can have somebody who is, I don't even know some of these names, but, you know, 7th in the system, who's at high A right now, who throws 98 or whatever. I mean, I know we focus on the Dominguezes and the Jones and the other names that we hit, the Schlittlers, whatever. There's other players. Figure it out. I don't know what to say anymore with Cashman.
Here's my issue, though, with Jones specifically. If this were 3 months ago,
yeah,
it would be a no-brainer. Be like, oh, yeah, all right, move on for Spencer Jones. So now it's back the other way. And that would bother me. It does bother me. And it would bother me from a Yankee perspective that who's to say that in another 5 months from now or 6 months from now or next year, it's like, well, we should have probably traded Spencer Jones if we had the chance. Again, I don't know what's offered. I'm not looking to dump him or give him away.
No. Nope.
But if that's the difference between getting a top piece that could help you win now, then I would go look to make that move. I'd rather give up Jones than Dominguez. But if you want to go on the deep end of the pool here and get big time names,
take the swimmies off.
Well, with young players under control, and again, I'm not saying it's the right time to do it. I'm just saying you got to give. Cashman said they wanted to go to town. I haven't seen that.
You're talking about more with the Kwan stuff because I don't think there's anybody else where
they're not even rumored in the Kwan thing.
No,
that's a me thing.
Okay, but I don't really know the other names out there that if there was a David Cohn to get at the deadline, I'd say probably do what you got to do.
But also, if you felt it was the final piece, where I'm assuming you don't, like right now they need multiple things.
Yeah, they need I don't know that they need as much as you think that they do, or I don't think that they need as much as you think that they do, but I know that they need more.
Well, you think
they're not a World Series team today, and even you though think they're what, winning though? And they won last night. They're not a World Series team right now.
Okay, but you think what?
Absolutely reliever. What? I would like two, but you have to get at least one
top bullpen arm.
And I would like one more starter. I would like, a backup, like give me a Zach Gallen, get me a Merrill Kelly, just to get some innings, just in case Luis Gil stumbles, just in case Will Warren's been a little bit all over the map after a good promising start with a lot of strikeouts. Obviously, Clark Schmidt is gone. Garrett Cole is gone. I would like one more arm. I definitely would, for sure.
Right, and even to me, while I would, I'd take an arm. They need a bullpen arm. That's unquestioned by anybody. I still don't think it's enough. Kwan, to me, could be a difference maker. Hey, BT, bring your friends, family, and neighbors out to run or walk the Giants Foundation 5K presented by Quest. That's on Sunday, October 26th, and finish in the end zone line at MetLife Stadium. To sign up, visit giants.com/5K.
Could you today, without zero training? Now, what is 5K? I'm not a runner. I don't even know what that is. I think it's three change. I think it's 3.5 miles. Could be off on that. If you had to run, say, 3 miles nonstop.
No way.
You could. Physically,
I couldn't do it.
Yes, you could.
Nonstop?
I'm not saying you got to run
Johnson. I need some time to prepare.
No, I mean where you just really slow it down.
Like a jog?
Just to finish, basically, your life depended on it. Mets World Championship. If you couldn't do it, I think you could do it. It
doesn't mean that much to me.
What?
Sorry. Yeah, I want to see the Mets win a World Series. I don't want to have to run 3 miles to have that happen.
Three miles not that hard. Yeah. Hoff, could you do it? Could you run three miles without stopping?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, but you'd still
find... 3 miles a lot, dude.
I can walk 3 miles.
To just pick up and run outside?
Dude, I'm not saying run like Ben Johnson. No. Jog.
For 3 miles?
Yeah.
I don't want to walk 3 miles.
Oh, my God.
Maybe walk a mile and a half. I'm not walking 3 miles.
I think you could do it. Come on, stop.
All right, let's get back to the phones here. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Josh is calling from Miami. What's up, Josh?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Hey, Josh.
First of all, love your show.
Thank you.
Sorry, I love your show. And now I just want to talk about the call that we called about Dominguez and that he wouldn't trade him for Kwan. So, I mean, I think, prospect, the whole thing with them is that you hope that they're young players and they turn into star players, but the Yankees have not had any success with their prospects. And if you would trade Dominguez, you're getting a guy who's a lefty bat, gold glove fielder, contact hitter, doesn't strike out, just a great player, and he's a young player under control, not getting paid a lot of money. And I think it just doesn't make any sense to hold on to these prospects and hope that they could one day become better than, Stephen Kwan. Or Stephen Kwan's a great left fielder, and I think it makes no sense to hold on to guys like Cam Schlittler and you guys who never turn into anything.
Well, hold on. Yankee pitchers are, I think you should evaluate them a little bit differently than the Yankee position players. But that's your philosophy. And I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I'm not subscribing to that extent. But it's not crazy gibberish when you say that. I certainly get it.
And by the way, we have no idea what the package is going to be back for Kwan. Maybe it's less. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the Yankees are interested in Kwan, which to me is an even bigger problem. You could debate whether you want to hold on to Dominguez or Spencer Jones or Schlittler or which one you would trade. The idea is you said you would trade Dominguez for Kwan. I would be open to whatever they're discussing. I'm not just giving them everything.
Mm.
By the way, an update here, according to Ken Rosenthal, Yanks and
Kenny's been quiet today. What's he got?
Yanks and Pirates are discussing a trade involving Bednar.
There we go.
An official from one team involved believes the Yankees are front runners for Bednar.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously doing something.
That's the most.
That's frustrating. It's getting late. It's almost 2 o'clock, which means there's a little bit more than 4 hours to hammer out this business. There is no chance that Cashman's walking away with nothing today. It's a 0.0.
Right. The only question is going to be, okay, well, is that enough? Bednar would come in and immediately make them better. I would have him close and move Devin Williams down and Luke Weaver down. I still think they need more than that, but they're going to probably take their chance. Hey, if we could get Bednar, improve the bullpen, maybe they get a depth starting pitcher, maybe. But that to me is just like, all right, let's try to patch it together, take a firm shot at it. We're within striking distance, get in the playoffs. Judge goes nuts. Who knows? Maybe anything could happen. It's just not enough to me.
I mean, Cruz is coming back. Yankees have a couple guys who are banked up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't love Leiter. I've never have. But, I mean, Cruz was pitching really well. That injury really kind of coincided with when a lot of things started going wrong with the bullpen. So, if you get Bednar and you have Cruz back and, you know, Weaver's been a little hit or miss this year as well. I'm not saying it's perfect, but for me, that would be good enough. Now, I'd like to see if you get Bednar, you get a starter. Let's go. We're good. We'll take our chances. I'm not giving up Dominguez. I'm not giving up Jones and Schlittler and Dominguez for somebody who's not guaranteed a championship. I'm not doing that.
Well, but nobody's ever guaranteed a championship.
I understand that. No, I agree, which is why I'm not going to do that for a guy, even though I really like Juan, but for other pitchers who are here for half, 2 months and then they're gone, that's stupid. That's the old days.
Well, how about the Padres doing it, giving up the third best prospect in all of baseball for Mason Miller?
Yeah, let's get to the World Series like the Yankees got to a year ago. When was the last time the Padres were in the World Series? Just get there.
So you don't respect the aggression?
I do respect the aggression.
Like, that's showing some sack.
It's showing some sack. The Yankees, let's see where it gets them.
Let's see what these guys pan out.
No, that's not saying that. That's not what's being said.
I do think that's a part of the Yankees are... They're thinking too much about it. And again, I'm not saying reckless. Like, that's a different story. The Padres aren't being reckless. There are no guarantees. They gave up. They pulled the trigger on the third best prospect in all of Major League Baseball to go get a lights out closer that they have under control. Like, that's a power move to me, regardless of the result.
It is a power move. And I do respect the aggression. If I'm a Padres fan, what was the last time they were in the World Series? 98 against the Yankees. Yeah. 84 against the Tigers, 98 against the Yankees. They haven't been there this century. So they should get off their asses and be aggressive. But I'll tell you this, just fundamentally speaking, like philosophically, I know how good Mason Miller is. To give up the third best prospect in the game for a closer is the height of idiocy.
Right.
Nobody should do that.
See,
stupid.
But then that's just a philosophical thing. If it's me and I'm looking to put the finishing pieces on what I believe could be a World Series championship team, and I'm getting a closer that's under control for a couple years, that's where I would consider it. Like, I'm just not into the prospects as much as you. So we're going to go over here the most powerful, or the way that I would say it, my favorite Mets trade deadline moves ahead of the deadline. You give us your Yankee ones.
Yep.
All right, you want to start us off here?
Yeah, I'll get us going in descending order here. And again, not necessarily one that is like the ultimate move to a championship, but that could be it, but also ones that we just really liked and really just enjoyed. Number five for me, Sean Chacon. Going back to the Yankees in 2005. Now, Sean Chacon, when they got him, I remember like, what? What are we doing getting him? He was 1-7 with an ERA over 4. He comes to the Yankees. He goes 7-3. With a 2.80 ERA, got a start in the postseason, got a no decision, but he went 7 innings and he gave up a couple of runs here. The Sean Chacon, it was short-lived, but the Sean Chacon magic was kind of fun for the Yankees.
You know, I'm going to go number five here, and I know this is definitely recency bias, but the way that I'm giving you my power five is based on my feelings of excitement at the trade deadline, not based on the results. And for the record, Hernandez, Piazza, not exactly deadline. I was too young in 83 anyway. Piazza was in May of 98, not at the trade deadline, so I'm leaving those out. So specific trade deadline trades that the Mets made that got me excited. And yesterday was honestly up there. Now, it was a combination of both Rogers and Helsley, but Helsley was the one that really put me over the top of excitement of the Mets going for it. It was an area of need. We all begged for it. We asked for it, and they delivered. So I know it's early, and there's a long history of trades at the trade deadline, but I really do think if you were doing this segment in 10 years from now, yesterday would have been on there. I'll go Helsley as number five.
And you had the exciting tweet to match it, so you were pretty pumped up when that came through. You punctuated. I got you. Number four for me, it was a good Yankee. A couple of different stints, obviously. Dave Robertson, this is an under-the-radar one. You go back to the 2017 season, comes in, and they get him, and he goes 5-0 with an ERA that was barely over one. That 2017 team was a lot of fun. You know, they should have won. Things happened, and we would look very differently on it. Listen, David Robertson had some really good years, but, I mean, imagine if he was a World Series champ. They were a game away from getting to the World Series in 2017. Robertson was lights out when they got him.
I'm going to go number four for me, Sean Dunston. Remember when the Mets got him in 1999?
I almost don't remember that. Jesus.
Yeah, so the
Sean
reason,
Dunston.
There's a couple of here on the list from 99 because it was an active trade deadline, and you have to remember, the Mets hadn't made the postseason. 98, they fell short. 99, it was a postseason team, but they needed to put the finishing touches on there, so they were very active at the trade deadline. I remember loving it, and they brought in Sean Dunston, just a veteran guy, play a little shortstop, just a veteran player for them that they could use, a versatile player at that point in his career, the rifleman with the Cubs.
Oh, great arm.
Yeah, and he was a useful piece for them at the 99 deadline, so maybe not as impactful, but a solid bench player that raised the floor and helped them get to the postseason, so I would have Sean Dunston coming in at number four.
Brooklyn guy. Actually, the team that he played for growing up is the team that I played for growing up, the Cadets. He's a Brooklyn guy. And, you know, playing with Rhino out there in Chicago, a lot of respect. Had a great arm. I think he was, third overall pick? He was top three. All right, number three for me, Dave Justice. First of all, Dave Justice brought a whole lot of swag when he came to the Yankees. And, you know, this was in 2000. Obviously, the Yankees won the World Series that year. He wins the American League Championship Series MVP. Couple of big home runs, and it just brought a lot of juice and a lot of flair and a lefty stick that connected on some big bombs. David Justice, number three for me.
All right, number three for me. This is one of my favorites. Now, again, I'm not basing it on the results, but I remember being beyond ecstatic at the time. 1997 trade deadline. Mets were going nowhere, but they made a big move acquiring second baseman Carlos Baerga from the Indians. Now, they gave up a boatload. One of my favorite players was Jose Vizcaino. They gave him up. They gave up Jeff Kent, obviously. Baerga at that point, though, was a three-time All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the best second basemen in baseball.
On good Indians teams, too. Good teams.
Yeah, I loved it so much that, he was a star. Now, remember, this is the 97. This is pre-Piazza.
I understand.
Like, post-86, the 92, 93, awful Mets, building it back up, the strike years. Like, 97, the Mets didn't have any stars. Baerga, that was a big move. So much so that I was so excited I went and got a Baerga jersey.
You did,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they went with the authentic jersey. I loved Baerga, although he didn't do anything. We know Kent is a Hall of Famer.
Ugh.
No, of course he fell apart, much like Robbie Alomar.
Yes.
Vizcaino was a good player. You know, beat the Mets, of course, in 2000 in the World Series. But that, at the time of the deadline, got me excited. 1997, Carlos Baerga, that's number three.
Listen, I saw him a lot against the Yankees, obviously, in the 90s into the mid-90s. And he was, there were a couple of years, he was a stud. I mean, he hit 312, 321, 314. Back-to-back years, and then he slipped a little bit, obviously, and went to the Mets, and it just did not work out, so I remember that very well. Number two for me, I mean, just one of the great figures of the game. When he hit him, I mean, all right, maybe Canseco, maybe Big Mac. I mean, how many people hit balls in Judge further than Cecil Fielder when he connected? And when Cecil Fielder first got here, that was July 31, 1996, you know, that was an important move for the Yankees. They wound up winning the championship that year, and Yankee fans will certainly remember this when you get to this before DH and all that stuff. So when the Yankees go to Atlanta down 2-0, they made the decision to sit Tino Martinez, and they played Cecil Fielder because the Yankees, even though Tino was a superior fielder, he wasn't swinging the bat well, and Cecil hit 300 in the World Series. I remember him had a rocket base hit to right field. And Cecil, number two, he became a champion with the Yankees.
Love Cecil Fielder. Yeah, I mean, the Yanks, that's when they were loaded up, obviously, all those years. All right, number one, and we are almost out of time here. We're keeping you up to date on what's going on with the trade deadline stuff as well. I'm up to number two, right? Number two for me was when the Mets got Darrell Hamilton in 1999. We mentioned the active trade deadline. Now, Hamilton was here in 2000 as well. He was one of my favorite players. He was clutch, man. He got some big hits in the postseason. Mets active in the 99 trade deadline. They traded Brian McCray and a couple of pitchers for Hamilton, who was their center fielder, and just the late Darrell Hamilton. Obviously,
yeah.
He's passed. No one has passed away.
Sad.
Also had a Hamilton jersey myself because
how many jerseys did you have?
Yeah, I used to get a lot. At least one a year. But I remember loving him. It was the number 18 without a name on the back when the Mets had that for a period of time there.
Uh-huh.
But the reason why I loved him is every clutch at bat, it felt like he came up in the postseason, he delivered. That was a big time acquisition. Not a big name, but Hamilton a pro and helped the Mets in big spots.
All right, well, this is a big name and been a big name for both teams. We love them, both sides of town, but David Cone. I mean, David Cone coming in 95 to the Yankees, July of 95. So you got to understand where the Yankees were. This obviously, you know, years after the disgusting years with Stump Merrill. And then, of course, Dick Michael builds it back up. And to me, this was the move that validated, even though the Yankees didn't win anything in 95, they lost a five-game series to Seattle in the wild card, as we know, flushing down that big lead in the end of Donnie's career. But to me, like, you think about, like, that slow, incremental growth, like Gallego and Wade Boggs and obviously a diminished Mattingly. You just had some pros. Like, it was a fun team. O'Neill comes. And then, to me, David Cone was the move where it's like, all right, we are going for a championship. Now, they didn't get it the first year. And Buck kept him in too long in Seattle, throwing 55-foot, you know, sliders in the dirt. He was shot. He gave it his best. But that eventually paid off and just had the aneurysm at a perfect game. And then they pulled him at Oakland. But David Cone, as gutsy and as big a sack as anybody I've ever seen pitch for either team.
He'd make the Blue Jays list, too. And Coney, of course, wants Yankee fans to give Anthony Volpe a standing ovation.
What do you think about that? I'm not a big fan of it.
I think it's a little soft, but I understand it. I think I don't think it would hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe he would benefit from it. I wouldn't be opposed to it. My number one, this is the no-brainer, Cespedes. I mean, come on, dude. We were dying for the Mets to go get a bat, begging Sandy Alderson, go get a bat. Please go get a bat. The team has pitching. You need to get back to the postseason and be taken seriously. Go get a bat at the final seconds of the deadline after the whole botched Wilmer Flores thing. Mm-hmm. They go out and get Cespedes. And that truly is what you want from every trade deadline deal. An impact bat like that, superstar coming here and then having that impact on the team, taking them to a whole nother stratosphere. That to me is going to be tough to beat and be topped as far as the trade deadline goes. So Cespedes, no doubt, number one.
That's a big one. He was absolutely sick. I can still see the neon arm sleeve. He brought the swag, too. He had a rocket. He hit bombs. He was good.
Everybody was excited with the move, and then it panned out. All right, Heyman, here's the latest here before we say goodbye. John Heyman just posting on Twitter, Mets are not close on Luis Robert Jr. at the moment. Not out of the question. White Sox, it's not out of the question that the White Sox hold Robert and consider picking up the $20 million option for 2026. Now, I guess Feinstein had that as well. Heyman also said center field remains a Mets priority and Mullins would be a possibility there. That could also be posturing from the White Sox part. I'll call their bluff and say they're not going to pick up the $20 million option on Robert for next year.
I'd be surprised if he's back. I agree with that. I think that, and I don't know if the Mets will get him, but it seems like if Luis Robert is dealt, I mean, I'd say 70% Mets seem like the team he's going to, or maybe San Diego, as we touched on. Yeah. I think he's going to be a Met. I think he's going to be a Met. I think the Yankees are going to get Bednar from Pittsburgh and a good back, you know, four-ish type starting pitcher. I don't think the Yanks are getting a bat. They already got McMahon as a fielder to play third base, and he's been hitting pretty well. I think that I'm going to be happy tomorrow, and I think you're going to be thrilled because I think you're going to pretty much, going back to the start of this, I think you're going to pretty much have everything that you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, there's more to be done here with the Mets and obviously with the Yankees as well, just 3 hours away. So, you know, the waiting game continues. This is probably down. I don't want to say the final posturing pieces here, but it's, you know, you're getting down to where, you know, you got to make a move. So Stearns may be waiting out the White Sox in this particular case. And obviously, you know, if you wait it out and then maybe make a move and go to Cedric Mullins, not ready to do that yet with 3 hours. But once they feel like it's officially done and they've reached their limit, then they go get Mullins.